KFSR presents the Fresno State Student Spotlight with Fresno State's Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, Dr. Frank Lummis, and Fresno State Student Special Guests, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Dr. Frank Lummis. Thanks for joining us this morning. I am excited to have two Fresno State guests, my colleagues. Welcome to Breanne Scoggin and Arthur Montejano from the Center for Leadership at Fresno State. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So today we're going to talk about leadership programs and what Fresno State is doing with the Center for Leadership. I work with you all the time, and so I'd like you to just start and let the audience know a little bit more about what the center does, how it came to be, you know, just a little general overview.
Sure. Well, leadership programs at Fresno State has been around for quite a while, but I would say within the past 4 years, we've really started to make sure that our programs are accessible to all students and really try to broaden our reach. And so in the past, probably about 5 years ago, we had one or two programs, but our goal now is to really make sure that we have a variety of programs that reach students at all levels. So 1 hour programs or year long programs that can reach students that are in their first year all the way up until their senior year.
All right. So go big or go home here. You want to reach all students.
All students.
That's a great goal. Great goal.
Some of the mission and vision that drives the Center for Leadership is that we're really seeking to build the leadership capacity of all students across the spectrum. So from the moment they come here as freshmen to their graduation as future professionals, and hopefully also capture some graduate students along the way. That's an extra segment that we started to target more frequently.
So I know, Arthur, you were the ASI president just a few years ago, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And so you are kind of a walking leadership example for our students in that you were a student here, you were the president of ASI, and now you're running leadership programs. So how's it feel like to transition from doing some of these things probably as a student, you know, being the participant, now to being the leader of some of these with Breanne?
You know, it's at the risk of getting emotional thinking about it. I really look at it as I got very lucky when I came to Fresno State and I started to get involved. I was still kind of finding my place. And then I went to the Emerging Leaders Retreat, which is one of the programs that we offer. And there I really found some people that I could connect with, individuals who had a similar vision for themselves, who looked like me, because that was one of the difficulties, right, is finding people who kind of look like you and who you can relate to. And so that made all the difference. From there, I got involved with the Leadership Council, and that's where, literally on her first day on the job, I met Breanne, and I was very lucky that Breanne took me under her wing and really guided me through some difficulties I had serving as a leader coming up, and she really mentored me and fostered my development along the way. And that's really what kind of helped me to make that transition. And then obviously when she invited me to partner with her after being ASI president, it was a no-brainer. And it's I can't think of a time when I feel more alive than when I'm giving back and paying it forward and helping other students discover their ability and where they could take their potential through Emerging Leaders and through the other programs that we offer like CCLC and the Graduate Student Leadership Institute. So it's really just surreal a lot of times. It's like living the dream.
That's fantastic. I think if we were to talk to a lot of our colleagues in student affairs, you would find that many of them have had some of the similar kind of walk, you know, in terms of their journey. And that's that they got involved and engaged as undergrads. Something really connected them. And next thing you know, they took this different path through a career that maybe they didn't see when they first got there. How about you, Breanne? How did you get involved in leadership work? Now, you did not come to Fresno State as an undergrad, did you?
I did not, but both of my parents did.
Okay.
So I feel like I get a little bit of credit
all
for
right,
that.
There you go.
Born and raised in Fresno, but I did leave. You know, similar story to Arthur, where I went to school, I got really involved. And then my senior year, someone told me, you could do this for a job. Actually, they were right. I did my master's in leadership studies because it was something that I was interested in and wanted to get a really broad experience within student affairs. And so did a master's in leadership studies, and it has served me well. I've had the opportunity in the past to work with Greek communities on another campus. And then when the opportunity to work directly with leadership programs at Fresno State came up, I was excited to take it. And so Arthur is literally the very first student I met on campus. And so I it's ironic now we work together. So I've had a great opportunity to really grow leadership programs here. And I think it's something that it's exciting. And I think I was the student that wouldn't have gotten involved in leadership programs because I never saw myself as being a leader or being able to kind of do some of those things or take on those roles. And so to be able to see that in our students now, to be able to see that and be able to say, I was that person and look what I'm doing now is really exciting. And so I can see myself in the students and want to give back to them because of that.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic. I think what you get back from helping students grow, develop, and go into whatever field that they want to. Not all of them will come into student affairs. We don't have that many jobs to give, but they're certainly going to be leaders in their community, leaders in their careers, leaders just in terms of their family and things for our community here. So it's great. So what do you see your vision for this center? So it started, it's kind of moved through, it looks like, certain iterations. I know you have a few more positions now. Just because I know I'm in the know on that. And so I know it's developed and grown. So where are you taking this? Where do you want to go? I know you want every student to have the opportunity. I know you do a lot of programs and have a lot of services. Start with maybe what your vision is, and then let's talk more about some of the programs and services you do throughout the year.
Sure. I think the vision that we have really is to build the leadership capacity of all students. And the idea is that they can then take those skills, like you said, and go use them in whatever profession they choose to. So being able to really take what they're doing academically and add a leadership development curriculum to that. I mean, I think a lot of our students don't realize that leadership development is very important for them, regardless if they're going to be a business owner or an engineer or a teacher. That leadership development education is really important, and it goes right along with their academic curriculum. And so one of the things that we're hoping to do is really make sure that that's a focal point for our students, not just what they're doing inside the classroom, but the education and learning they're getting outside of the classroom. And so that's one of the things that we hope. And so some of the programs and services that we offer directly relate to that. So doing, as we've mentioned, our Emerging Leaders Retreat is really important. That's the first thing that opens the door for our students, that they can understand it. It's directly geared at first year students. That's the population that we're looking for. And it's 3 days and it's on campus, but it's really relational. So we know that our students are interested in participating in activities. We definitely don't think that leadership is us standing in front of the room and telling you about it. It's you learning to do it yourself. It's activity and experiential based. And so I think that that's one of the things that our students enjoy about a lot of our programs is the fact that they can come in and experience that. We do a lot of work in small groups called leadership labs to help them understand and put it into action. And so it's not just telling you about it. It's you really figuring out how to do it for yourself.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, I'm a convert to all this. I have been doing leadership programs now at a number of different universities. And so I guess you lucked out. You got a vice president 2 years ago, really loves leadership.
Our biggest supporter.
So, you know, the thing to me that I think a lot of people don't get is that leadership crosses all disciplines. It crosses all segments of what students want to do. Leadership is not just something you do on the side. So I love when you talk about it being across all of our majors, all of our colleges, all of our students. They will be in some type of leadership capacity. I think people sometimes only look at leadership as I'm the president or the vice president of something, but servant leadership and other leadership comes in lots of different forms. Arthur, tell me a little bit about what some of the things you did here as a leader. I know you're ASI president and you got involved in that. I know you're in a fraternity. Mm-hmm. And I know you did a lot of service kinds of things. Tell me a little bit about how you emerged as a leader here at Fresno State.
Well, I think it really all started with my involvement in a fraternity, Delta Sigma Phi. Through those experiences, I eventually started out as a new member, grew to serve as a vice president, and then eventually as president of the fraternity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you learn a lot between budget management and how to handle difficult personalities. And, you know,
there are difficult personalities in organizations.
You know,
I didn't know that.
Like they say, there's
I've never seen that before.
There's one in every family, right? So, you know, and it's fun in that way because you're learning how to deal with people, and you're learning how to, I think ultimately leadership comes down to learning how to really love everybody that you're called to serve. Mm-hmm. And
very nice.
So you learn that. Yeah,
you
learn that the hard way. And one of the things that was at the forefront of every student's consciousness during my time as a student leader here was the safety in the community. Mm-hmm. And so the things that we were able to do and to be a part of, you know, we built that playground in El Dorado Park when we all went out there on that build day. And I was a build day captain at that time, which was interesting because there were many people who were a lot older than me who were on my team, not just students, but also community members. And so that was a humbling experience to learn how to draw the knowledge that they were bringing, the experience, and really leverage that. One thing that I am particularly proud of was that, and I think this demonstrates the power that students have to just do something now. I think everybody thinks you have to start from scratch. Well, through my involvement at ELR, I came to learn about a program called Saturday Sports, run by Every Neighborhood Project. And that's where community members go to different school sites, typically in underprivileged neighborhoods, and they host Saturday sports games and character lessons for the youth there. And it's a couple hours on a Saturday morning, and the students get a lunch and a positive character talk. Mm-hmm. And it was really great for the students who were participating in Emerging Leaders. But mm-hmm. the thing was, they had to travel. If they wanted to stay involved with something mm-hmm. like that, you had to go to a different mm-hmm. part of Fresno. So we actually started one here at El Dorado Park, right there at West United Methodist Church. And so we would just play there in the mm-hmm. lawn. And it was great because students now were able to just walk over to participate sure, in this program. Sure. And a lot of them took ownership of it and, you know, started to, we had the lacrosse team come out one time. We had some club sports teams come out.
That's great.
It was really something that a lot of students were able to participate in. And it has since moved, I believe, to Walters Elementary. So it's no longer right there at mm-hmm. Wesley. But that was one of the ways that I think we sought to engage students that really kind of allowed us to draw from a diverse population.
That's great. I think some of the work that's been done on our campus through the Leadership Center, the Richter Center, Greek Life, many others who are involved in service learning or just servant leadership here in the community to help those young folks that are near the campus to develop and have some role models is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So let's go back, Brianne, to a little bit about we were talking about the vision, and I know that leadership centers many times get into looking at certain leadership theories, or it sounds like we do a lot of hands-on experiential things, but why don't you tell the audience a little bit about what kind of is the underpinning or foundation for leadership center here in terms of theories and things that you subscribe to as a staff?
Sure. So one of the things that we wanted to make sure of is that we give our students the opportunity to look at multiple leadership theories. So one of the programs that we have through our Leadership on Demand talks about multiple leadership theories so that they can find something that makes sense for them. Not all theories will resonate with every single person. But one of the things that we've done is really infuse Kuzin Posner and the five practices of exemplary leadership.
You know that's my favorite, right?
I do know it's your favorite. but I think it resonates with students. And part of the reason is because they have an inventory. The student leadership practices mm-hmm. inventory that we've brought into the programs. And so our students can go through and take this test, for lack of a better term, and really figure out what is some of the leadership things that work for them. And so they have these five practices, and our students figure out what are the ways in which they choose to practice leadership. So it gives mm-hmm. them a common language. We use it a lot with our Emerging Leaders retreat, especially for our first year students. They're looking mm-hmm. for that tangible leadership idea. What is it that I do? Do I challenge the process? Mm-hmm. Do I inspire a shared vision? What are the things that they do? Mm-hmm. And that's helpful for them, that mm-hmm. that understanding of that mm-hmm. curriculum. We also, with our Graduate Student Leadership Institute, we'll be using it coming up here with our Central Valley Emerging Leaders Summit. Great. So it's one of those things that I think our students resonate with because of the fact that we can actually give you an inventory and help you understand what are the top ways in which you choose to exhibit leadership. So mm-hmm. I think that's, like I said, we give them the opportunity to look at a lot of theories, but the one that mm-hmm. we choose to really use a lot is Kuzin Posner, not only because it's your favorite, but also because I think it works well with our students.
Sure.
And one of the other things we found recently is the Student Leadership Competencies Guidebook. It was written by Corey Seemiller, and it's fairly recent. It was mm-hmm. written in 2014. I had the opportunity to go to a lot of workshops that she did at a recent student affairs conference at NASPA mm-hmm. and was really blown away by the work. They took the time to go through and look at 500 and some odd majors and look at all the accrediting institutions for those majors mm-hmm. and draw out what are the leadership competencies that each of those majors need mm-hmm. in order to be accredited and graduate with that degree. What a fantastic idea. So really mm-hmm. taking the leadership competencies and theories and saying, if you're going to be an engineer, here are the things that your accrediting body says that you need to be able to know. So as we look to make sure that our students understand that leadership is academic, we'll be able to take those things. And our goal is to really work with our new academic advising centers on campus mm-hmm. to be able to say, look, leadership is important. Your accrediting institution says these are the five things. Here's how we're going to go ahead and take care of that for you. If you send sure. your students to these programs, they're actually going to get these competencies. We'll work on that for you. Sure. As you're focused on the engineering curriculum, which we can't be focused on, we'll mm-hmm. be focused on that leadership development curriculum for you. So it's something that's kind of new for us mm-hmm. and really figuring out how to use it. But I think it'll be really helpful. And like I said, when I got the opportunity to actually hear her speak about mm-hmm. it, I was really excited about the work that she's doing and how they've used it on her own campus. And now we can try to use that on our campus as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I think it will tie really nicely because it'll be very relevant to exactly. them, both in their academic major and their personal life, and certainly help them kind of moving forward in terms of their learning mm-hmm. as they move forward. So, you know, you mentioned the program this summer that you're doing, and I know you have some other signature programs that you're very proud of. Why don't you take us through a few of the programs you really, you know, I know Emerging Leaders and the summer program for the community this summer, and Tell us a little bit about those big programs you're doing.
Probably the longest standing one that we have is our Emerging Leaders Retreat. And I think, you know, Arthur's been a participant, so it's been around for a little while. We won't date him, but a little while.
Kind of getting old, I know.
A little while.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that the curriculum has grown over the years, but the mission and the purpose stays the same. It's really for our first year students. It's a 3-day retreat. It's on campus. And the idea is really to open the eyes of our students about what leadership is. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite activities that we get to do there and that we borrowed from a colleague on campus is that we ask them to draw leadership. So we give them a piece of paper and say, draw leadership. And it's interesting. It's one of the first things that we do. And a lot of our students draw a person standing at the front of the room that's lecturing to others or that is in charge of others.
Sure, sure.
And so our goal throughout the weekend is really to help them understand, yes, that's positional leadership,
right,
but leadership is exhibited in many forms and in many ways.
Exactly.
And it's not always the president at the front speaking to everyone else. You can lead from anywhere in the room.
Sure.
So I think Emerging Leaders is a longstanding program for us, but I think it gets at what it needs to do. And I think a lot of our students, that's their first taste of leadership development on campus. Mm-hmm. And we've started to track them and we actually see them coming to leadership programs. Other programs that we do are getting involved on campus and they become a president of an organization because of the experience they've had at Emerging Leaders. And so I think it's a program that means a lot to the two of us because not only did Arthur start there, but also because it does a lot of great things for our students. Kind of some of the other things, and I'll let Arthur talk a little about the Graduate Student Leadership Institute, is that really his brainchild and something that he came up with. And one of the other things that we're proud of that we've done recently is our campus involvement ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a need for students to really figure out how to get involved on campus and how to relate to campus and get connected. And what we did was we found students that were really involved and we asked them to serve as peer mentors for other students. And so these campus involvement ambassadors do exactly that. They look to help other students get involved on campus. And probably the largest way that they do that is they do individual involvement advising sessions.
Hmm.
And so they like to say they're eHarmony for clubs and orgs. that's kind of their mantra.
Okay.
And so our students will come in and they fill out this questionnaire. It's got a lot of questions, but you fill it out. And then our actual students, campus involvement ambassadors, will sit down, look through that. They will actually go through all 250 clubs and organizations and programs and services on campus. And then they'll sit down and meet with you individually and say, great, based on what you've told us, here are 5 clubs and organizations or programs that we think meet your needs.
Oh, that's great.
So it really takes what can be a daunting task for new students to get involved. And when you come to the office and we say, we have 250 clubs.
Sure.
My goodness, no one has the time to do all of that. So these students really enjoy being able to sit down and get our students involved by saying, here are 5 things that work for you. Check those out. If you don't like them, come back. We'll give you 5 more.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 is a manageable number, I think, for our students to look at. So
absolutely,
it's something, a program that we're proud of because they think it really helps our students get involved.
Great. Great.
So with regard to the Graduate Student Leadership Institute, that really came out of a need that I saw when I was a student here. Some of the graduate assistants that were working in student involvement at the time, Melissa Norris, then Watkins, Taylor Clanton, and Cassandra Martinson, a couple of those who still work here on campus, we did a study to see where are all the graduate students at and what are they looking for? We didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, we just knew the 4 of us and we came from different disciplines. And what we found was that graduate students were really looking to have some kind of experience geared directly towards them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew from helping run ELR that graduate students kept applying for this first year experience. So, you know, they would be in a room for 3 days with, and some of them are in their mid-20s, late 20s, with 18-year-olds. And there was a little bit of a disconnect there.
Sure.
So one of the visions that we had was to develop a program that was geared specifically for graduate students that would target kind of where they are in terms of their leadership development and to provide that opportunity for them. And so we focus on kind of higher level concepts. This past Graduate Student Leadership Institute, how do you manage change? What does that look like when you're in an organization?
Mm-hmm.
And what are some things that you could use to help you do that as a leader in your organization? Because these people, they're graduating with cutting edge research. They go into their new workplaces and they go, hey, boss, we've got this great idea, right? And then they meet resistance. Well, how do you manage that? And how do you get buy-in? And how do you work effectively as a leader?
Mm-hmm.
So really focusing more on the how-to of leadership rather than exploring leadership as a concept. And that really resonated with graduate students our first year, not only because it provided them with, as one student put it, the best leadership development experience I've been to, but also we found that beyond that, graduate students were really looking for that sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of those things that they have stated that previously they just kind of came to class and they left and they had kind of a connection to some of their colleagues in their cohort.
Right.
But now we were actually connecting them to the university and to other graduate students who are here. Future leaders, not only within their disciplines, but in other disciplines as well. And I think they really saw value there. And that is, mm-hmm. I think, one of the value adds that that experience has for them.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I remember grad school, I kind of gravitated to a few people that I got to know and relationships started, but it wasn't anything formal. And that would have been really exciting to have more opportunities to just sit and talk about some of these things. So mm-hmm. really sounds like a fantastic program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have an election coming up. You probably have seen some of the debates on TV, and leadership has been put out there a lot in the last year. Is there anything you're going to do with that? You know, I just wonder, are there any discussions you're going to have with students as they see either the good or not so great behavior that sometimes is on TV or tweeting or other messages that you see? I have to say that in my lifetime, the nicest way I can say it's the most interesting debates and discussions that I've seen in a while. I'm really looking forward to the next iteration. But it's also been some of the, I felt like I was watching junior high students sometimes in terms of their leadership style. And maybe that's not being nice to junior high students. I don't know. So is there anything we're going to do with this to show it as a model for either positive leadership or maybe not so positive?
Sure. I would say elections do provide an interesting educational opportunity
Absolutely.
For our students. So we've done one thing and we're hoping to do one other. One of our programs that we work with is Fresno State Talks. And we had the opportunity this past year in February when they occur. One of the professors that was selected was Dr. Lisa Bryant out of political science. And she did, her entire talk was about voting and leadership and being involved. And so helping our students understand that, you know, a lot of people think, oh gosh, I'm one person, my vote really isn't going to change things.
Mm-hmm.
But her talk was about the fact mm-hmm. that yes, your vote can change and your vote matters,
right.
your voice
right.
matters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was important for our students to understand that because a lot mm-hmm. of people do think, oh gosh, I'm only one person. I'm not going to go vote. You know, I want the sticker, but I don't really want to have to go all the way there. So I'm not going to do that. And her talk was really interesting, I think, because of that. And she talked a little bit about this election year and how it could be close and how your vote really might matter a little bit more than you think that it does. So that was a great opportunity. And those talks mm-hmm. are actually available online. So if people want to see
right.
them now, didn't have opportunity to go then, they can still go. And then we have an opportunity to partner with our Office of Student Conduct and our Ethics Center on campus. And so we're working on doing a panel on leadership, integrity, and ethics coming up. Mm. And so don't have all the details fleshed out, but look for it in
yeah.
late October.
Great.
And
like
part
a
of
great program.
It should be. It's the first time we'll be able to partner. So we're going to pull student conduct and leadership and ethics together. And I think that we'll be getting something really cool out of it. So we're hoping to do more of a panel discussion and get some people from different disciplines as well as students and community members mm-hmm. to talk about these three concepts. And one of the things that we'll be introducing as well is not specifically politics, but talking about leadership in politics and mm-hmm. what that looks like. And so
right.
as that shapes up, I'm excited for
sure.
this partnership.
Sure. Well, just communicating a message and how you want to be perceived in your communication, I think would be a very interesting thing to do as we move forward. So I know that we are starting to partner more with the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center. I know that we have a position right now that we're searching for that is going to do some things in leadership. And we also have a new position that's coming into the Leadership Center that's going to focus more on Greek life mm-hmm. and working with our Greek students, which is probably, what, about 2,000 students or
Correct.
So mm-hmm. that are Greek here on campus, for those that don't know. So tell me a little bit about those initiatives. What are you seeing into the future in terms of how you're going to take these other initiatives you've done and now try to do more with these mm-hmm. two populations?
Sure. So yes, in January, we were able to assume responsibility for the Greek community on campus, and they've been really welcoming to us, and that's exciting. And so both Arthur and I, being members of social Greek organizations, will really help us not only understand the population, but really provide them with some great leadership development opportunities. Mm-hmm. So we're really looking forward to that. In terms of the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center, they've been fantastic colleagues for us. We use them for a lot of our programs, and the staff over there has been great in working with us to provide programs not only for our Student Leader Summit, but also our Leadership on Demand series. And so we're looking forward to continuing that partnership and really determining how can we make that even larger? How can we draw a larger audience through a partnership with our Cross-Cultural and Gender Center? So like I said, fantastic colleagues over there mm-hmm. and excited for the new position, as I think that will give us even mm-hmm. more opportunity to really focus on some of the populations that they work with as well.
Right. Now, I think it'll be great opportunities. I've heard a lot on campus that students are really craving some of these things. And how do we get more to our diverse students and our Greek students to get them even more involved in the fold? They're doing their own things, mm-hmm. but now how do we bring it into the center? A couple last questions. I'll just fold into one as our time is getting short. Two things I'm going to ask both of you. One is, Give me a success story. Give me something that, other than Arthur here, which you met the first day, give me a success story, something that, you know, you feel like, boy, this is just, you're so proud of what's happened. And then if a student wants to know more about the Leadership Center, how do they access information, websites, other things like that?
So my brief student success story, I would say, is our Fresno State Talks program. It was a program that was a brainchild of a student. They said, hey, we should have a lecture series. We don't have a ton of money. Can't bring in lecturers from around. But you know what? We have some great talent in our own backyard. Mm-hmm. What if we did a lecture series and invited Fresno State faculty to do so? Mm-hmm. And it is an amazing program, and it is all student driven. When the students came up with that idea, it really reminded me that I don't have all of the answers. And by listening to the students, they created a program that I never would have even thought of. Mm-hmm. And it's going into its fifth year. And so there's a lot to be said for our students. The ideas that they come up with, they fleshed it out, they took control of it. And it's a program that's still standing because of it. And it's a well-respected program. And so I'm really proud of the work that the students have done and the fact that they trust me to continue that program with them.
That's great.
There was one student who went through the Emerging Leaders Retreat, and she had been on the verge of failing out of the university. And about a week after the retreat ended, I found this thank you note on my desk, and it said, hey, I just wanted to thank you and thank the Campus Involvement Ambassadors, that are the ones who facilitate the small groups, for helping me discover my potential again, for helping me believe in myself again. I'm going to go out and get involved. That's the short version of it. And she actually went on to have an internship in Washington, D.C.,
right.
Has since taken on leadership roles here on campus. And I don't have permission to use her name,
right.
But I think that that really says a lot about the power that these programs have.
Absolutely.
And she's got a great support system. And what's even better about that is that the students that she met in ELR, they have remained friends, and they are all now getting involved and becoming leaders on campus. One of them is going to be helping us with that community program that we're going to have for the high school students.
They're going
to serve as a facilitator. Others have gone on to serve as campus involvement ambassadors. Some of them have even been elected to student government.
That's great.
So I think that that small cohort right there is just a wonderful example of some of the things that our students go on to do. And that's just the ones that we know about, who
sure.
keep in touch with us.
Yeah. Well, we talk a lot about involvement and engagement, a sense of belonging. And we all know that students are going to be more successful, have a better experience, and really take off if they get the full experience. So she's a perfect testimonial to that.
And on track to graduate. I guess that's important,
and
right?
That's
She is on track to graduate.
Well, and I think the students who are involved and engaged, if you look at, are typically the ones that are graduating at higher levels because they have that connection to Fresno State. So last question, how do we know more about it? And then I know you have a new proposal, and money and funding is always an issue.
Yes.
So if you want to donate to the Leadership Center, you can either go to the Vice President's website or the Leadership Center website and give to all these great programs for our emerging leaders here at Fresno State. And final
get in contact with us. We work out of the Student Involvement Center. That's in the University Student Union, room 306. You can always check out our website. Pretty easy, fresnostate.edu/leadership. And then, yes, like you mentioned, we're always looking for funding for our programs. As we try to broaden our reach, we need to make sure that we have enough funding to give these programs to our students. And we do things pretty well, pretty cost efficient, but always need more money in order to ensure that we can broaden that reach. So contact the Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management Office. David Hembree is fantastic and help you out with that as well.
Well, thank you so much for being with me this morning. Thanks again to Brianne and Arthur, the Center for Leadership Center, for all that they do and being with us today. Thanks for joining us this morning. Please join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 for another Fresno State Student Spotlight on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Student Spotlight every Sunday morning at 10:30. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.